Alei Sean. Baruch Hashem, welcome to the Overseas Office, where we're continuing the Torah. Nothing can hold us back, Baruch Hashem. So we started off yesterday, we ended off yesterday with a promise that we were going to quote from Rav Chaim Vital in Sha'arei Kedusha. And the basic principle behind it is that the basis of our Avodat Hashem does not start with mitzvahs and does not start with Torah. There's a stage before that. The stage before mitzvahs and Torah is being a ben adam, having midas. Midas comes first, derech eretz, kadmara Torah. And these are the words of Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Ariza. Inyan midot hen mutba'ot ba'adam benefesh hashfela. בנפש הזה צוליות המידות הטובות ורעות והן כיסא ויסוד ושורש אל הנפש העליונה והשכלית. So those are the words which we spoke about yesterday. There's a basis, there's a foundation, which comes first. You have to have the foundation. The foundation is the midas. Good midas are the foundation. Only on top of good midas can you start building what he calls the nefesh elyona, which is the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. And therefore, you don't find that good character traits are commanded in the Torah. You don't have a mitzvah to be kind. You don't have a mitzvah not to get angry. You don't have a mitzvah. It's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, all the character traits. Because they are prerequisites. Hem hachanot ikariot el tariaga mitzvot. You cannot start doing mitzvahs in a way that will connect you to Hashem if you do not have the prerequisites of having good character traits. Ein koach benefesh ha-sichlit lekayem ha-mitzvot al yedei tariag evre ha-guf, ela ba'emtzaut nefesh ha-yisodit ha-mukhubat al ha-guf atzmo. The only way that you can actually serve Hashem is if you've got the foundation of character traits, and on top of that you start building mitzvahs. And therefore he says that working on one's character traits is even harder than doing a mitzvah. Because working on those character traits is the foundation, it's the very beginning, where it all begins. And Chazal say that explicitly. Chazal say that if someone gets angry, it's as if they're doing Avodah Zorah. Why do they compare anger to Avodah Zorah? Because anger is a midah. And a midah is the basis for everything. If you pull out your calm temperament and you get angry, you've pulled out your whole source. You've unplugged. It's like cutting the umbilical cord. You've cut yourself from the very foundation of where you are. Another quote from Chazal. Someone who has arrogance as if he denies Hashem. And it's fitting to uproot him like an Asherah tree. There are many quotes like this which imply that it doesn't say anywhere that if you didn't do a particular mitzvah, Sheikh Lulav and Esrog, it's like Avodah Zorah and you have to be uprooted. Because those are details on top of the foundation. But the foundation is the character traits. One has to build. Now, it's not true that you don't do mitzvahs until you've built the midas. Of course, you do them concurrently. You work on your mitzvahs at the same time as you start doing mitzvahs. But one has to understand that without the foundation of good character traits, mitzvahs that you're building will come out crooked. They'll come out skewed. They'll come out inappropriate. I have an amazing Devar Torah to share with you from Rabbi Aaron Kotler, exactly on this matter. Rabbi Aaron Kotler asks, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, they all died in between Pesach and Lag BaOmer, between Pesach and Shavuos until Lag BaOmer. And the Gemara says, what's the reason why they died? Because they weren't treating one another with honor. So Rav Kotler asks, I don't understand. There are 48 ways to acquire Torah. One of the 48 ways is honor, kavod, acting with honor to one another. So they didn't have one. So they were missing one of the 48 ways. So why did they all have to die because of that? They were still learning Torah. They were fulfilling Torah. They were just missing one of the 48 kinyanim, the ways to acquire Torah. So why is that so terrible? So Rav Kotler writes that those 48 ways represent the character traits that a person has to build as a prerequisite for learning Torah. And if a person hasn't built those foundations, then when they learn Torah, it's not even Hashem's Torah. It's a crooked Torah that comes out. It's a misconstrued Torah that comes out. Because it's not a Torah that's based on the basis of all the character traits that you don't have that. Hashem said, there's no room for that Torah in my world. I'm not interested in having a Torah in the world which didn't come on the foundation of Kavod Zeh Lazeh. Because the Torah itself is not a full Torah. It's a crooked Torah. Imagine, that's Rav Kotler's Devar Torah. And I'll give a parable to it. Imagine if someone's goal in learning Torah is to find tricks in how to play the bass din. Find tricks of oh, Moedev and Miktsas, I have to make him swear from Kofar Bakol, he'll have to swear. You start looking in Torah to find tricks that you can win the case in the basement. Then you think any Yerat Shamayim is going to come out of that? Do you think someone's going to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu because of that? There, where the basis is not based on good character traits, then even his learning of Torah is all crooked, it's all skewed. It's not going to lead him to a closest to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So says the Sharei Kedusha of Rav Chaim Vital, Nimtza, what turns out from this, Ki yoter tzarich lizaher mimidot ra'ot, it's more important for a person to be careful and guard himself from having bad character traits than it is from the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Because if he has good mitzvahs, sorry, let me say that clearly, if he has good character traits, then fulfilling mitzvahs will be easy for him. It will be natural, it will be an outcome. Once he's got a good basis, a strong, solid basis, it will be second nature, it will be natural for him to continue working on his mitzvahs, on working on the will of Hashem. That's the quote from Rav Chaim Vital. And the reason that Ali Shor is bringing it here is because this next section that we're going to be learning together is how to build that foundation. We're going to be speaking about how to and why we learn Musar. We're going to be speaking about what Emunah is and how to develop Emunah. We're going to be speaking about the basic kinyanim that a person needs to acquire in order to build that foundation, that when you go and fulfill mitzvahs and when you go and learn Torah, you'll be doing it emanating from a place of solid foundation that will really build the closest to Hashem. So we described yesterday that a young man, a bochur yeshiva, gets to the stage where he's omed al da'ato, where he's aware that he wants to work on himself, and he now has the obligation on the one hand to educate himself on his character traits and build his inner world on the one hand, and on the other hand, he has to continue building his connection with Hashem through learning Torah and through doing mitzvahs. Ulam shoneh achinuch atzim avoda. These two different types of works that a person has to do, these two jobs, are very different. Each one has to be addressed differently. Ha'avoda, Torah u'mitzvahs mugdarat etev. If we're talking about how to fulfill a mitzvah or what you should be learning, it's very clear. You can look it up in the Mishnah Brura, and you can see in the Rambam, and you can get Mara Makomos and the Gemara that you're for the Gemara that you're learning. And if you want to learn a Musar Sefer, you can just read it from the beginning of the chapter and work your way through. When it comes to doing mitzvahs, it's very clear. Soon it's going to be Chanukah, and everyone's going to be lighting candles outside their room, and it's very clear the halachas. Do you write from right to left or left from right? What happens if you're in a dormitory and you have four people lighting by the same door and there's not enough room for everyone? Where does everyone light? All these details are written up in the Shulchan Aruch. If you want to know how to fulfill the service of Hashem when it comes to halacha, it's all clear. It's equal to everyone. Very clear guidelines. However, when it comes to educating oneself and building one's inner world, it's not at all defined. Where do you start? And every person in this shiur right now may have a totally different place to start and a totally different method about how to work on themselves depending on where their starting point is. Because when we speak about educating oneself, you are the center. And every person has a different mindset, a different philosophy, a different viewpoint, different character traits. If a person wants to work on himself, he first has to know himself. Right? Imagine everyone here who's choosing yeshivas. Some of you knew it was only Karen Biavne and it was very straightforward. Maybe there were some people here who were debating between two places. How do you know what's right for you? First, you have to know who you are. You have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what your strengths are. And once you have an understanding of yourself, then you can go and look at a yeshiva and say, does that answer my needs? Any project you're thinking of taking on, you have to first know your values and see if does this project answer my values. If you're choosing which profession to go into, you first have to have an understanding of who you are, what your strengths are, and from the understanding of your inner world, you're able to then go and choose a profession which loyally and faithfully addresses your unique character in the world. Here it's very different. It's not like Shulchan Aruch anymore. Shulchan Aruch is equal for everyone. It applies to everyone. Halacha is halacha. The building of one's inner world is very unique and independent for every individual, each one according to their own unique facets. And here there's a great tragedy that happens where people look at other people and they say, oh, he's doing this, I want to do that as well. Or you read a book and you say, wow, that rabbi did this and I want to take that on too. And people randomly pick different things. I heard an amazing drosha that some rabbi said on a particular topic. I'm going to take it upon myself to do that. Maybe that's exactly right for you and it's good that you took that on. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's the opposite of what you need to do. Let's say, for example, there's someone who's very shy by nature. He's very withdrawn. And he hears a Devar Torah that Rav Eliyahu Lapian, he used to fast every Monday and Thursday. And even a Tanis Dibra, where he wouldn't speak to people other than words of Torah. And this withdrawn person is already on the borderline of depression because he's not interacting with other people in a healthy manner. Is it the right avoda for him now to go and take on not speaking to people every Monday and every Thursday to do a Tanis Dibur? It would seem to us like it's the wrong thing. But he read the book of Eliyahu Lapian and his son's good friend recommended it to him. So how could that be wrong? He was a Gadol Hador. He was such a great rabbi. Surely that's the right thing for him to do. It was the right thing for Eliyahu Lapian to do. He knew himself. It doesn't mean it's the right thing for you to do. So every person has to have an inner understanding of who they are, so they can then choose the right area that they take to work upon themselves in the area that suits them. Without a person having an inner knowledge of who they are, it's impossible for a person to work on himself. It's impossible for someone who's sick to get the right medicine if he doesn't know what his sickness is. The doctor will be randomly prescribing him. Could you imagine if doctors would say, I don't care to look at what you have. Let's skip the treatment. The last patient that came in, he needed chemotherapy. So I'll give you chemotherapy as well. Yeah. Shomu shamayim. Just because some other person needed chemotherapy, you're going to give this person chemotherapy. It could destroy them. It could harm them. Yeah, but the last person did it. That's exactly what people do in Avodas Hashem. They read a book about someone else. They say, oh, he took upon himself to work on this midah. He took upon himself this extra chumrah. I'll take it on as well. Who says that's good for you? Just because the last person, that doesn't mean you need to do it. Just like in medicine, you first check what your unique needs are, and according to that, you build a structure. So too, in Avodas Hashem, you have to understand who you uniquely are to build your own inner world. Within Avodas Hashem, we've just seen there are general ideas and there are specific ideas. The general ideas are the ones that are in Shulchan Aruch, and that's in Halacha. But also in Avodas Hashem, it's fair to say there are some ideas which are broad enough that they apply to everyone. Having life balance is a broad enough idea that it applies to everyone. Within the topic of life balance, where are you out of sync and you need to realign yourself? That's very individual. But the idea that everyone needs life balance, that applies to everyone. Having emunah. Which topic of emunah you need to strengthen, that could be personal. But the idea that everyone needs to be building their emunah, that's something that's universal. So even within the inner world, there are general topics, general sugyas that everyone needs to learn and everyone needs to understand the concept. And then within those concepts, everyone has to ask themselves, where does that touch me? Where does that relate to me? And within that new concept that I understand, let's say, for example, of life balance, where am I that I need to push myself towards one direction or another? If you look in Chazal, you'll find words of Chazal that could take you in each direction. You'll find words of Chazal that say you have to be much more intense, and you'll find words of Chazal that say you have to be much more relaxed. You'll find words of Chazal that you have to be much more into a Ben Adam al-Chaveiro, and some that are much more into Ben Adam al-Makom. You'll always find words of Chazal that could be on any side of any debate. Because any debate, there is someone who's too much on this side and he needs those words of Chazal to push him back to the center. And any debate, there's someone who's too much on this side and he needs someone words of Chazal to push him back to the center. There was a boy here a few years ago who... he was extremely intense, overly intense. And all the words of Musa that he was hearing in yeshiva, of you have to get into it and you have to push yourself and take on more, they would cause him to go, flip. It was the exact opposite message of what he needed to hear. So we were speaking about it and he said, Rabbi, why am I different to everyone else? The words that all the rabbis say, they say, doesn't apply to you, doesn't apply to you, doesn't apply to you. And I feel like I'm an outcast. I feel like I'm an alien. Like all the words of Musa don't apply to me. So I said to him, you know, really, everyone's getting the exact same message. You have to be balanced and push yourself to your maximum whilst being balanced. Now, many people are too much this way, where they're too easygoing and laid back and chilled out. So for them to get balanced and maximize their potential, there's a lot of pushing to get them here. You, Baruch Hashem, are already very focused. You're very intense. And for you to be balanced, you need to hear a different message. It doesn't mean you're different to other people. We have the same end goal. We're both trying to have fulfilling one's potential in a way that can continue long term. Same long goal. Those people, they can continue long term chilling, but they're not fulfilling their potential. So they hear the message of push yourself harder. You won't last long term, but you are fulfilling your potential. You need to learn the message how to do it long term by calming down. We're trying to get everyone to the same point to be able to fulfill their potential and it lasts long term. So really we're all the same. It just happens to be that they're currently on that side of the line, you're currently on that side of the line, but everyone has the same goal of getting to a place where we can fulfill our potential long term. So there are some ideas that are universal. In that example, universal is fulfill your potential long term, where some of these that are specific. In that example, these people be more intense, this person chill out, relax. So that's the example that we're giving. There are universal messages about Avodas Hashem, and there are specific ones which each person needs to hear coming from where they're coming from. The major point that the Ali Shohir is making is that there's a prerequisite of you knowing yourself before you take on things, because he's scared. He's scared that he's going to write something now which is going to give Avodas Hashem messages and someone's going to take it the wrong way. Someone's going to take it in a way that was intended for other people and wasn't intended for them. So he's giving a disclaimer, if you like. He's saying, we're going to be saying words of Torah which are inspiring you to have life balance and build your Avodas Hashem, but you must be careful to know yourself and take on those things that you see move you in the direction of Avodas Hashem. And if you see that there are words here that take you in a direction which cause you to be too intense, that you feel now that you're not connected to Hashem in a healthy manner, and you know those words were not intended for you. That's the disclaimer that comes before the rest of the book. Know to only take words that are building you and your relationship with Hashem. Okay. Lo nuchal lageshter labir unyan bli la'amod al totzot ha'chamorot alot lehivalev migisha peziza lechinuch atzmi prati. He says, I know I've just said this point, but I feel like I can't move on if I don't emphasize how dangerous this is if people aren't balanced in this area. And he gives the example that we just gave. If someone wants to work on Lashon Hara, meaning they spoke Lashon Hara and they want to fix it, they take on a Tanis Dibur, that's dangerous for someone who's cut off from the community. The intention of this chapter is, before we get into the specifics, giving the broad ideas that apply equally to everyone in order to have a good life balance, to be well balanced all around. That was the summary of that section of what he wanted to give over the message. One more introduction. In earlier generations, there was a different way that they worked on themselves, like in our current generation. Sometimes you read earlier books and you read ideas there which don't seem so relevant to us. They give mashalim of an eved serving a master, and that's a concept which for us is very difficult for us to relate to. Everyone's end goal is to get to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ways that you relate to that change with time, just like oral Torah changes with time. The principle behind the Torah is eternal. But the way that you frame it, the way that you structure it, once upon a time they spoke about cows and donkeys, and now we speak about one car crashing into another car. That doesn't mean that the principles of Torah changed, but it does mean the clothing has changed. And when you read books from earlier generations, you have to ensure that you're understanding the inner message and don't get caught up on the clothing that it's framed in. There are some books like Mesillas Yesharim, which are eternal. And he was successful in writing the book, Mesillas Yesharim, in a way that rose above any era. And the underlying message is something which can relate to anyone at any time. Our goal here is just to train ourselves. We're not so arrogant to think that we're going to perfect anything. All we're going to do is to remain being trying. And this is a very important principle. Sometimes people are scared to work on themselves because they say, if I work on myself too much, then I start getting arrogant about it. Look at me, I'm the humblest man in Keren Beyavne. Look at me, I'm so patient. Look at me, I'm so happy and calm. Look at me, and look at me, look at me. I'm working on myself, and the very fact that I'm working on myself builds one strength, but then puts me down in my humility because it makes me arrogant. The Ali Shohar is aware of that, and he's trying to stop that happening. He says, anything that we do in Avodas Hashem, all we're doing is training. We're just in training. We'll never finish. We're working on the midah of anger. We're training ourselves in anger. We're not perfecting it. There will always be more work we need to do. And with that mindset, just like someone who's an apprentice, someone who's an apprentice comes into a particular job. He's not the professional yet. He's not the skilled person with a certificate on his wall. He's just an apprentice. He'll be humble because he knows he's always learning. In Avodas Hashem, you never qualify. You never finish. You're always in training. No matter how much you grow, there are always higher levels to reach. And having the mindset that I'm just an apprentice, I'm just training myself, will stop you from being arrogant. Whatever levels you reach, you will always be grateful for having learned that skill or that concept, but you always recognize there's much more ahead of me to learn. And that will stop one from becoming arrogant along the path. So all of our work is just training. We're not arrogant to think that the little bit of work we're going to do already makes us an Eved Hashem on the highest level. Rather, what we're doing is trying to be more authentic, trying to be more genuine, trying to raise ourselves up amongst those who don't even think about their Eved Hashem. I wouldn't say it's arrogant, but we can be happy about the fact that we're working on ourselves. We will never take satisfaction in the fact that we finished. We will never have a certificate on our wall and say, I have the degree, now I can pause. We will never rest on our laurels, and we'll never get arrogant because we'll always know we're in the process of continuing to grow. Torah yesh lanu, v'hi mechayevet otanu lenetzach netzachim. The Torah obligates us eternally. No matter how much we grow, there's always a next step. We'll conclude with the words of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah that a woman who learns Torah has reward. And even though a woman who learns Torah does get reward, the rabbi said that it's better not to teach one's daughter Torah intensely, because many women may have bina, they may have an inner understanding of things, which serves them very well in understanding their children and raising their children in a healthy way. But that's one intellectual strength, bina, understanding that matters behind matters, reading into things. But that das is stronger by men than it is by women. And the word the Rambam uses is Ein da'atan mechuvenet lehit lamed, to train themselves. So this word of training oneself comes from the Rambam. It's not the Ali Shor's made up word. It's the Rambam's word. The Rambam, when he speaks about our learning, he doesn't say that we learn. He says that we train ourselves. Amru chachamim, kol ha'melamedet bito Torah ki'ilu lamda tiflut. What do you see from here? That learning Torah is mitlamed. It's always training. We're always training ourselves. Anyone who's lacking this mindset of being able to recognize they're training themselves is exempt from Talmud Torah. They don't have to learn. Why am I get to them? Oh, I understand this immediately already, totally. And then I start making conclusions based on that. No, pause. Everything you're learning, you always say, I'm still understanding this idea. I learn a new sugya. Oh, I'm learning a new sugya now. That idea that I'm still understanding, let me take into account this new sugya and put them together. Synergize them, understand more. Oh, now I understand. No, even now I don't understand. Now I have more of an understanding, but there's a third sugya that's going to come my way. And I'll develop my understanding more and more as time goes on. We're not talking here about different styles of learning. There are different styles of learning and they each have a place. What we're talking about here is the mindset that one has behind learning. All I'm ever doing is training myself in Avodas Hashem. That will enable me to keep going constantly and be humble at the same time. That is a condition, a prerequisite for Talmud Torah. We don't want to miss the mark and get arrogant here. Final phrase. If it ever occurs to a person that he wants to acquire a particular midah, or he wants to put a certain boundary around himself, then he may think, who am I to work on such a great thing? It's not according to my level. But if someone says, I'm only training, then okay, I can train. So the mindset of training saves you from two extremes. The one extreme is that a person gets arrogant and stops working. The other extreme below is where a person says, I'm not worthy of working on myself. Someone who's too arrogant won't work on himself. Someone who thinks he's not worthy won't work on himself. Each of those people won't work on themselves. But someone who has the mindset of I'm training, he won't become arrogant because he's always in training. He also won't say, I'm not worthy of it, because all he's doing is just trying it out. He's just practicing. He's just seeing if it fits. And therefore, we're going into the topic of Avodas Hashem for the next few chapters as we start the second Shah of Alei Shor with the mindset that we're going to adopt everything that we learn. And as we adopt it, we're not arrogant because we're only trying it out, and we'll take it on. And as we adopt it, we don't say, oh, this is above me, because all we're asking here for is to try it out. And by trying out and never getting arrogant, you have the perfect formula for continuing constantly building your Avodas Hashem. Ashreichem, Ashreinu. Bez Hashem, we'll be continuing on Zoom for the near future. I look forward, and Bez Hashem, please reach out to me either by email or by phone if anyone wants to have a personal conversation. I'm as available and a welcome ticket. If I don't answer you immediately, then I will call you back as soon as I can. I look forward to continuing.